You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Hi folks, good evening and welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 20th of March 2022. Good evening, lovely day today. The weather is really nice, the summer's out. Get your vitamin D. And we're coming into the summer now, the equinox is around the corner. I think it's tomorrow, 21st of March. So I always like this kind of the time of the year when things are picking up and the weather's getting better and it's getting warmer and everything else. It cheers people up, especially when the sun is, it comes out. You know, it's really good. Okay, my guest on the show tonight is a lady called Yvonne Skelly. Now, I've known about Yvonne. We're Facebook friends, and Yvonne has been open-minded since the 90s. And we're going to be talking an awful lot about, well, hopefully most of it will be positive about energies and what we're going through and things that are happening. That's the good news. So we're going to be touching base on that. But before we do that, obviously we have a few things to talk about. And let's find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email. Contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212. Or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, you know, the website circleofwhitelight.com and also circleofwhitelightradio.com. And you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/COWLR, and obviously PayPal button on the website. A big thank you to everybody who makes donations to Circle of White Light. It keeps the lights on and the engine room going. And obviously we make donations to local charity groups and local groups and homeless charities and any group we can send a donation to. The PIF team, the Pay It Forward team, meet up every 2 weeks and we have a chat and we see where we can allocate the funding for each month. If you want to check out the groups that we have donated to, pop over to circleofwhitelight.com and click on the Pay It Forward menu option and you'll see all the groups that we've donated to since December 2019. So a big thank you to everybody. Remember, it's your donation and your generosity that can help us make the donation. So a big thank you to everybody who does that. Now, T-shirts are available, Circle of White Light. The summer's coming in. You look really cool, really trendy, and they're nice and cheap, €10 plus postage and packing. If you want to send an email to info@contactus@circleofwhitelight.com, and we can sort out the price for that and the payments for that if you want a T-shirt. Okay, right. Now, a few things. Oh yeah, don't forget, go over to the website and subscribe on the website, and then when we send out newsletters and information like that, you will get the email and you'll be kept up to date. So pop over to the website and subscribe. Right, okay, now I was looking around to see, is there any positive news out there rather than mentioning the obvious stuff, you know, that are going on now. But there's very little about from where I'm sitting. Very little positive news from what I've seen anyway. I'm sure there's stuff out there, but I really didn't see much. Even the likes of the daily newspapers and all that kind of stuff, most of it is depressing. So we know what's happening in the Ukraine, and we know like what's the involvement with the deep state and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure you've all had the feel of that. I mean, I don't really watch the news. I don't watch the news at all. So I couldn't tell you what they're saying or what's going on. I just don't waste my time with the radio or the news on TV. I just don't watch it because it doesn't interest me. But at least we had a kind of celebration with St. Patrick's Day during the week, which is good. And I think we needed that after the lockdowns and the isolation over the last 2 years in Ireland. So it was good to see, not only did we have the St. Patrick's Day parade in Dublin, but also in local areas and towns and villages, they had St. Patrick's Day parades going on. So that was really good to see. And I won't say we're getting back to normal, because we know normal didn't really work anyway. And we have to improve things. But at least there's a level of normality with the parades and stuff like that, and people enjoying themselves and good energy. So it was good to see that, you know, happening. So I don't really have any major news for you this week. as I said, I couldn't find any. Very depressing. Now, you know, I was speaking to somebody, I think it was Jerry I was speaking to, and we were talking about the whole idea of, you know, maybe if they had a newspaper with just good news in it, but apparently they did try that experiment, and the newspaper only lasted about 3 months, and then it finished. People weren't interested, believe it or not, in good news. They were more interested in the bad news, which says a lot about our, you know, population and the mindset of people out there. Maybe it's just we weren't ready for it. Maybe we're ready for it now. Maybe this is the right time to do it. I don't know. So I'm just going to touch base on a few things. Things that happened in my week, and then we'll bring our guest in. Now, during the week, I popped into a petrol station to get some petrol, and I noticed everyone standing around for some reason. So the guy behind the counter asked me, card or cash? I said, either. I didn't mind. He said, cash is fine, as the card machine was not working, and they were waiting for it to come back online. So I paid cash and walked out with everybody else standing there waiting. And there's a lesson in this, folks. If we only have a cashless society with no physical cash, we're going to be controlled, as you all know, and they can switch off your credit card if you don't conform to what they want. It was just very strange that they were just standing around. I walked into the petrol station and there's everybody, you know, just standing there. And I'm going, oh, okay. And I looked at the guy and he said, a card or cash? And I said, well, I just said either. So I kind of skipped the queue, paid with cash, and then walked out and jumped on my car, and everybody else was standing there waiting for the credit card machine to come online. So so much for the cashless society, you know. Not really a good thing. So, you know, I hope you don't go down that road. And just something different. For those of you who are Facebook friends, yeah, you will see that I've been doing some kind of steampunking during the week. And if you don't know what steampunking is, go over to YouTube and type in steampunking. It's basically getting old pipes and, you know, all bits and pieces and putting them together and making something with it. And then obviously you do a bit of dry brushing and clear coating and stuff like that. So I made a couple of years ago, I made a candelabra out of the half inch pipes. But it needed to be resprayed, clear coated and dry brushed again. So I did that. And then I had a bedside lamp, which I partially built, but I just pushed it to one side. So I said, no, I'm actually going to finish that. So I managed to get it finished during the week. I got it all wired up and everything else. And for, as I say, people who are on Facebook friends, they can actually pop over there. They can see what it looks like. So it's my new bedside lamp now, steampunked bedside lamp. But the reason why I'm saying this is because this is part of my grounding. You know, I mean, we can't be doing what we do 24/7 all the time. It would just drive us nuts. So for me, part of my grounding, part of getting away from everything, is going out to my shed and just pottering around, doing a few projects, doing a few things, tidying up or whatever it is I'm doing, just to, you know, I'm putting on a bit of music and just getting away from the drone of what's going on in the news and all, you know, everything that's happening. And that's my little bit to get away from it all. And I said it before about grounding. It's very important, you know, because there's so much madness going on the planet at the moment, as we all know. And we're going to be talking to Yvonne about it shortly. And it's just, you need to get away from there. You need to get to do your grounding, and you need to focus on the positive stuff and positive energy and all that as much as you can. I know it's very hard because it's surrounding us, but look, you have to do what you can, you know. Okay, so I'm going to bring my guest in now. My guest is Yvonne, a Dublin native, can be described as an intuitive healer with a visionary leader and wellness entrepreneur. She founded Empower Health in 2014, a company that initially created Nace Holistic Centre and then expanded with Lakeshore Wellness Centre and Salt Cave Nace. Empower Health embodies a conscious business philosophy of co-creation, collaboration and community, bringing together many Irish holistic therapists and internationally acclaimed therapists to offer their unique therapies and workshops both in person and online. With over 20 years experience in facilitating private healing sessions, ceremonial workshops, meditations and holistic healing courses in Ireland, UK and Europe, Yvonne helps people to overcome life changes by removing the barriers within to access their inner strength and divine expression to create a more empowered, joyful life. Yvonne aims to inspire others to realize their true potential by leading by example through her own authentic life expression and healing journey. Yvonne is also a former TV show host, having ran 24 episodes of her show Celtic Heart Wisdom on Awake TV Network in 2020. This show aimed to connect viewers to the wisdoms, energies and healing codes of Ireland through conversational journeys featuring healers, wayshowers and spiritual teachers from Ireland and the UK. She also has regular media contributions on radio and various social media platforms. Good evening, Yvonne. How are you doing?
Hello, Alan. How are you? Thank you for the invitation to come on
your show. No, thanks a lot for coming on. I seen you first and foremost. I kind of knew about you. I think I seen you on Facebook, and then the Open Minds Conference, I seen you down there. We didn't kind of hook up or anything like that to have a chat. But I remember seeing you down there. And as you see, I see a lot of the work you're doing on Facebook now. So before we get into what you're doing now, what I normally do, I guess, as we talked beforehand, is to find out about your journey, about, you know, your step outside the matrix to find out, to actually realize what's going on, and then why you decided to go on that journey to try and make a difference and obviously help people and do what they do and wake up to what's going on. So tell us, what was the catalyst for you? What was your journey and what was the trigger for you?
I don't know whether there was a particular moment in time, but certainly, you know, even as a teenager, I had a very curious mind and was always questioning the kind of mainstream narrative. So back in the 90s, I remember reading a book by, who most people would probably know now, David Icke, called The Truth Vibrations.
Yep.
It was one of his very first books, and it didn't quite go into the conspiratorial side of it at that point, but it was more based on a consciousness, and there was a coming awakening and a raising of frequencies and stuff. And that really, really resonated with me when I read it, because I really felt that the world was crazy and there was, you know, there's something more to life than what we were necessarily experiencing. So I think that kind of started me in that journey, and I started to look at healing. And of course, healing is very often not able to be explained within the narrative of the mainstream.
So
I had a lot of experiences around that that helped to open my mind. So that kind of brought me on a journey. And then in the late kind of, 2007, 2008, I started to look at other things, like more conspiracy things, around big events like 9/11 and stuff like that. And I started to realize, wow, you know, there's nothing in the world as it seems.
Exactly.
So that brought me down a lot of rabbit holes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, as you can imagine.
Yeah. No, I've done that journey like you. But here's the question. What made you pick up the Icke book? Because one of the Icke books that opened my mind and got me questioning things was The Biggest Secret by Icke. But my first impression of when the friend of mine gave me the book to have a read, my first impression was like everybody else's, and they said, oh, that guy's a nutter. He was on Wogan, right? And then I stopped myself and I said, hang on a minute, how ignorant and arrogant am I to actually turn around and, you know, be arrogant thinking I know more than he does, and ignorant to the fact that I don't. So I stopped myself and said, no, I'm going to actually read the book and see what he has to say. So what made you, because a lot of people have that kind of reaction when you mention Icke. So why did you kind of go and pick up the book and say, I'm going to have a read of this?
It was a friend of mine said it to me. He said, I think you're going to find this book very interesting. And, you know, I've always had a very open mind, Alan. So I've never really taken what people perceive to be a certain thing as, I always try to discern for myself information.
Okay.
So, you know, I read, now sometimes you read stuff and you think that's nonsense, you know, I don't agree with that at all. But I picked up his book because somebody suggested it, and I read it without any preconceived notions of what to expect or who he was, or, you know, whether people ridiculed him or not. And for me, I read the book and thought it really resonated with something within my own consciousness. It's something that it kind of helped me to articulate things that I felt but wasn't necessarily expressing.
Yeah.
So it definitely it resonated with me. I kind of felt there was a truth in it for me in that moment.
Yeah, I agree. It helped me join the dots. But the one thing I learned over the years, and I know, you know, you made a statement there and you said, oh, there's some things I read that just seem to be mad. But you know what? I've actually stopped myself thinking that way. And I'll tell you why. Because, you know, people know who are regulars to the show, we always say the fluid belief system and Aristotle, the mark of an educated mind. So there are so many things in this world that we don't know about. So for me to turn around again and to just dismiss something, especially if I don't know a lot about it, I think can be, you know, again, ignorant again. So I learned that lesson in the early, obviously early 2001 with The Biggest Secret. And I said, I'm not going to do that again. Yes, there's some way out stuff there down the rabbit holes, as you know. But again, I'll put it on the mantelpiece and I'll go, I'm going to leave that up there until the time comes around when that information might present itself again, or more information might either clarify it or it'll add to it. So rather than, so I'll entertain it. I won't believe it. I'll entertain it, but I'll be looking for more evidence rather than just dismiss something, because my level of knowledge at that time wasn't probably sufficient enough to actually believe it, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's the key for all of us, is to be willing to question everything.
Yeah.
And even things that we think, you know, even conspiracy theorists, or when you start to kind of lock into this is the way things are and this is the absolute truth of everything. For me, as a healer and as somebody who works with energy and frequencies, you're immediately creating a limited perception, because we're infinite and there's infinite and multiple levels of perceptions to view things from. So I always keep an open mind, even though what I perceive today to be, you know, a certain truth or various narratives not being what they were told or they are and so on. I always give myself permission to change my perception. So I don't lock into any particular belief system or what I perceive to be truth. I always leave it open.
Yeah,
and because as we gain more knowledge and widen our perception, maybe we start to see things from different perspectives. Yeah. And I think that's served me well over the years, because sometimes we can get, you know, people can go down rabbit holes and get stuck down there and, you know, not pull themselves out of the frequency of that, or they get a very limited perception and they're not able to, when something else presents itself, to maybe question the particular narrative that they believed in, they lock into it and they won't move position. Which is just another version of the mainstream, if you like.
Yeah,
you
know? No.
So we have to be very open all the time and keep our perception wide, wide open.
And I love that, because that's really based, that's exactly what the fluid belief system is all about. Because if we can challenge our belief systems, and I mean all of them, it takes the ego out of the equation, because you're not afraid to actually change your belief system if some new information comes in. And this is what we, myself and Steve, used to talk about on OAM, about the fluid belief system. It parks the ego. Now, the one thing you mentioned there, which is very important, is perception. Because, you know, this is not about intelligence, because so many people turn around and go, I don't understand why they don't get it. That guy is very intelligent, or that woman's very intelligent. But it's nothing got to do with intelligence. It's actually got to do with perception, how you perceive the information. The other thing that you'll probably find, and I'm sure you've come across it, is that what stops people challenging their belief system is the investment in time in some belief system which they're doing. So they probably have invested a number of years in a certain, I don't know, modality or something like that. And when you ask them to, when you challenge their belief system by giving them information that challenges it, a lot of the time they won't take it on board, or they just poo-poo it, because they've invested so much time into it, they're afraid to turn around and think, oh, what if I believe that, I've wasted all my time. And, you know, and that's an issue as well that has to be addressed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. As I said, I always give myself permission to be very fluid. And I've seen it myself. I mean, I'm a long time around in the holistic world now. And I've seen, you know, people really get triggered by certain beliefs. And, you know, we all know COVID has really, I suppose, intensified that and intensified people's belief systems in many ways. And people getting triggered. And I've experienced that myself where people get triggered. But I always try to bring everything back to myself. Like if I'm triggered by something, it's not the person that's triggering me that's the issue. It's me.
Yeah.
So like, you know, we spoke a little bit about this before we went on air, you know, like I found myself getting very judgmental over people who seem to buy into hook, line and sinker, the narrative around COVID,
yeah,
without questioning, even though, as we know, a lot of it was nonsensical. It didn't make any sense, you know,
yeah,
like the €9 substantial meal stuff and all, you know, just stupid stuff. And I was getting very, very judgmental around it. But I had to sit with myself with that, Alan, and say, you know, if I'm being very judgmental, I wouldn't like somebody to judge me for my perception or my understanding, yeah, of what's playing out. So I had to sit with myself and turn the focus inward and take personal responsibility for if I was getting triggered or if I was being judgmental, so that I could realign myself in that. And now I'm kind of moved more into a space of being accepting, more accepting of different people's understanding of what's happening. And showing compassion rather than judgment, because I was getting fed up. Like I was. I think a lot of us were. We all went through the gauntlet of the various emotions that it brought up. But I think we have to take personal responsibility. And for me, that's the huge lesson in all of this for ourselves, because how we get out of what we're in and how we raise the consciousness of the planet is by each individual looking, taking an honest inventory of the frequency and the vibration that they are cultivating within them and therefore within the collective. And then when you do that and you do your inner work and you really start to look at your own self, that's when things start to change.
Yeah, no, totally. All of the above. I agree. I mean, I always say on the show on a regular basis about we're all on a path of knowledge. And some people are further down the road than others. It's just, it is what it is. And the people who are, scared about COVID and listen to all the news, that's the level they were at. And we have to accept that. Now, I did say before we went live that, you know, and I said that last week on the show, you know, I understand that people are struggling. And helping them people is, there's no problem at all. It's good to talk and everything else. But there are an element of people who are just playing the victim card because they know they'll just get attention with it. And it's not, and that's what it is. It's just attention. But they play the victim card rather than them really having a real issue. It's probably a minor issue, but they, you know, they exaggerate it. And that's the only thing that it frustrates me a little, because, you know, as I mentioned before we went live and we were talking about this issue. Thank you very much. My cup of tea. Sigmund Freud said that most people are afraid to take responsibility. They'd rather be the victim and blame everybody else, because if you take responsibility, you have to be responsible for your mistakes, good and bad, you know? And that's the thing. People don't seem to want to take responsibility. And what we need is, we need a population of people standing up and going, look, this is my problem, this is the issues that we have, but we have to move forward and, you know, accept this is my problem and I have to deal with it and I want to deal with it and I want to get better and move forward. That's what we need people to do, rather than turn around and be blaming Tom, Dick and Harry. And I think this is probably where you come in, because this is what you're obviously focusing on. When you had your waking up, you obviously have started the center. So how did that kind of develop? From when you woke up, when did you decide that, listen, I want to do something about this in a positive way? So what was the journey?
I always felt this, urge within me to help people. So, and of course, the more you learn about the world and the various different things that are playing out and how much healing is needed in the world, I did have a draw to create something. And to leave some kind of legacy or create a space for people, because the people that you're describing there, you know, who are blaming people, they're in a state of disempowerment, and the system is really designed to create that apathetic expression within them and to disempower them completely. So they're stagnated and frozen in fear. And I really wanted to do something around that. I mean, I myself have been on a healing journey, so it's very much reflected in my own personal journey. And what I wanted to do was to create spaces. And I suppose I held that vision. And how the center came about was really a series of synchronistic meetings with people And it just flowed in. And I find this is a pattern throughout my life, where I hold a vision in my heart, like a really align fully. I mean, align every fiber of my being with that vision. And then things just flow towards me. Things happen, you know, circumstances happen. So I opened Nace Holistic Center in 2014 through just really a synchronistic meeting with a French guy. We opened it up together, Olivier, and I had no financial backing. I mean, how we got it off the ground, I have no idea, but it all happened. And within the first month, it was washing its own face, and it was starting to, we had 21 therapists lined up and, you know, signed up to use the space, and it grew from there. And then 2 years later, we opened a studio space, which again, just grew and grew. And then COVID happened, you know, yeah. And I'm bearing it in, just to give people the background. I was still working part time as a project manager up until a week before lockdown. And I gave my job up to go full time as an entrepreneur. And then what happens? Wallop, you know, lockdown happens and the two premises that I had were closed. Wow. And I had no income. So I was like, thank you, universe. Yeah. But you know what? It was the making of, even though we had lockdowns and everything, and I had to go into myself again, healing within myself. I like to try and be authentic, Alan, in everything that I do and have high integrity and to lead by example. So there's no point in me turning around to somebody and going, empower yourself, live your, you know, your dreams, be the best version of yourself, if I'm not doing that myself. Because people know when you're being authentic.
Yeah.
You can say all the right things, but if you're not backing it up with your frequency, with the vibration that you're bringing to the table, people know it, and it's inauthentic and it doesn't have the same impact.
Yeah. Well, it's the classic corporate thing, lead by example, which is something that I always did in the corporate world. And try and do as much as I can, you know, especially when you're, you know, especially what you're doing, it's showing people and showing them the proof because you're doing it, and it does nothing better than having the proof to show people.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, and even though we were like, obviously, I had, you know, a bit of a dark night of soul slightly at the beginning of lockdown because I had to really step into the fear of, oh my God, I've no centres practically now, and I've no income coming in, and what am I going to do? And I had to really sit with that and alchemize that within me. And I kept holding the vision that I wanted to help people. I wanted to help people. And I asked for source energy or guidance or angels or whatever you want to call it. I asked for the universe to step in and say, well, how can I continue to help people? Because I knew intuitively. I mean, I knew anyone that has looked at any kind of alternative media over the last number of years probably knew straight away this was never going to be 2 weeks to flatten the curve. You know, I knew exactly where it was going to go. So I also knew that collectively people were having meltdowns, they were terrified to hug granny, you know, there was all sorts of, you know, massive fear frequencies within society. So I wanted to help continue people. So I sat with that and sat within my own fear and alchemized that within me, and I experienced expansion. So that led to me through, again, various synchronicities and magical connections. I ended up having a show on Awake TV Network in 2022. I did a lot of stuff online, you know, little free meditations to help steady the ship, so to speak, to give people a little bit of support. So for all those people that were frozen in fear and not knowing what the hell was going on. And, you know, along with that, there was people starting to break out from the matrix programming. Because the irony of the lockdowns is it actually caused a lot of people to go within in many ways. And there was people, you know, starting to awaken and not knowing what was happening. So we were there to try and help support them. And we continue to do that. And then last year I ended up opening a third center, which again, I never expected to happen because I just barely got the other two on track. I managed to get through lockdown without going into massive debt, and managed to keep the centres afloat. And the last thing I expected was to open a third centre, but the universe had other ideas. This is what happens when you hold a vision of helping people.
Okay,
that came in with ease, like it just presented itself. And when that happens, you just go, okay, well, obviously there's something bigger than me happening here. So I opened that in July last year.
Well, that's great. I mean, obviously they don't have the answer machine on when you call them, because anytime I call them, the bloody answer machine's on.
I see that the alchemy in it, Alan, is when you fully align with every cell in your body and say, I want to achieve this goal, and you do it authentically and you really put all of your conscious energy behind it, it literally can happen within days. I've witnessed it over and over and over in my personal life, in my business life. But we really have to look within ourselves. People have forgotten that the whole system is designed to keep people disempowered, think that they can't create this reality, when we do create this reality. But if you keep people locked in a vibrational prison, they'll only create a certain expression of it. But okay. People realize that they have massive potential and they really can create, and that's us. There's no savior out there that's going to save us. No politician, no, you know, leaders, so to speak. We are our own leaders. And yes, there can be people that can maybe guide us. And that's what my centers do, is to help people find healing and solace. And we'll probably talk about this in a moment. We're reaching crisis level of, like, the nation is on its knees mentally, spiritually, emotionally. You know, we're reaching crisis point. So our centers are there to hold that space for people as they transition from, shall we say, the matrix into maybe wider perceptions, and more beautiful perceptions. But yeah, we have the power to do it. It's us that will do it.
So the, obviously what we're talking about, manifesting, and we're going to get into energies and stuff like that. But so where do you kind of sit with the likes of The Secret? Remember The Secret came out, the book and the DVD.
Yeah.
And that was all about focusing. Now, there's two sides of the coin with that. But where did you have a look at that? And did you go, well, I can kind of relate to that?
Yeah, I mean, I can relate to it in some context. For me, it was very much, you know, I mean, I'm not motivated. But for me, like, having a vision and a motivation to have a Ferrari and stuff, I thought The Secret, the way I looked at it, it seemed very materialistic.
Yeah.
And I think what we need to, or certainly from my own experience, or what I try to do, is to be more, have better community and connection to source. And that doesn't necessarily have to be in having a Ferrari is going to make you happy. You know,
yeah, no.
So I thought The Secret was a bit materialistic. I mean, the principles of it in terms of manifestation, yeah, it had a lot, there is a lot of gold in there, so to speak. But I didn't really resonate with that much, because I think if people really just resonate within, if they really connect with their own inner divine expression, it can manifest in many different ways. We're all here to do something unique and different, you know, so it doesn't necessarily have to be. You're only can be happy if you have certain material things in your life. You know, I just thought it was a bit materialistic. That's my own point of view. I'd be more about just people authentically expressing their natural soul gifts and talents. And most of us are here to offer healing in some capacity.
Yeah, no, people. I totally agree. I enjoyed it and it was very interesting. But yeah, there was part of it that was very materialistic, and it's not all about, you know, the materialistic side. We need to be more kind of people focused, service to others and energy, rather than, you know, trinkets, you know, that people want to have, you know. But the COVID, the 2 years of COVID that we had the lockdown, what did you learn from that? What was the learning or the lesson that you learned from that, from source, do you think?
From source. Well, did I create my reality? It reinforced that for me over and over. Because if I look at the collective was in lockdown and restriction, and then I look at my own business and it expanded. And you see, I refuse to go into the vibrational expression of COVID. So in my own center, I didn't buy into any of it. And I allowed people, as the sovereign beings they are, to decide for themselves whether they want to wear masks or, you know, jabs and whatever else. I left it up to individuals. So I just said, I'm not going to let my business get pulled into that frequency.
I was
honoring and respecting individuals' choices around various different acts that we shan't name, you know, but I just refused. So it showed me that even though there might be restriction and limitation all around you, you don't have to buy into that belief system or that construct that we can create. And I have experienced, ironically, more freedom. I've never felt freer in my life, even though I've been living in tyranny for 2 years. And we all know Ireland was, you know, one of the top in the world for tyranny during the COVID story.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's interesting that you said that, because like you, I was the same. I didn't vibrate on that frequency. I just didn't even come into mind regarding the whole idea of, I never wore a mask, in all the time, in the 2 years, I never wore a mask. Obviously, I said to people that for the family and stuff like that, I might have put this plastic covering on, which I wore like a welder's mask anyway, so it was a bit stupid. And the psychology of people go, oh, he has a plastic, you know, a mask on, the plastic, you know, the plastic face mask coverings. But I used to wear it up so you could see my whole face. And yeah. But the psychology was, oh, the fact he's wearing something, you know. Yeah. And then I just kind of said, okay, no, I've had enough of this. And then I got the badge with, you know, I'm exempt from wearing a mask, to educate as well with that. And because people are going, oh, you mean you can be exempt? You don't have to wear a mask. And that's what the badge did. It was actually educating people to the fact that, oh, I didn't know that there was a law that said that you didn't, you don't have to wear a mask. And that was kind of getting, you know, people interested and, you know, getting them thinking different. So I think a lot of us were educated over that 2 year period, and it woke up a lot of people as well. So what are you seeing? Let's look at the energies now. What's going on? We have the equinox tomorrow, 21st of March. And what are you seeing with your patients or your customers? I won't say patients, but customers coming in.
Yeah.
And what are the issues that you're dealing with? And obviously the 2 years has a major effect with the mental health and everything else. But from a kind of physical and energetic point of view.
We're experiencing, I mean, what we're bearing witness to is, you know, a mass injury event. I heard it being described as. So we're seeing people that are having, you know, mental breakdowns, basically, that even if they haven't been adversely affected by loss of a job or loss of income or money or a marital breakdown or whatever during COVID or lockdowns, there is still this, it's almost like people are experiencing a post-traumatic stress from how society transformed. And we're seeing that. So people are struggling with that. So mental health, it's on its knees. And a couple of our therapists are also nurses in adolescent mental health services and stuff like that. And they're seeing epidemic, you know, epidemic proportions of mental health in that age group as well. So we're seeing that, and people just they're jaded, they're exhausted. And coupled with that, people are also experiencing awakenings to some extent. So they're starting to kind of question everything, and then all the hoo-ha that comes with that. Because when you start to question everything and you start to think, well, maybe things aren't what they seem, and that changes the whole dynamic, as I'm sure anyone that's gone down a few of the rabbit holes, it changes the dynamic within your family.
Yeah.
So where once you fit into the little jigsaw of your family dynamic, suddenly the jigsaw piece is turned and you're no longer fitting in, and people aren't reacting to you the same way because you're questioning and you're making things uncomfortable for people. And that can be a difficult transition for people. So we're seeing all of that happening and playing out. But we're also seeing increased community among people. That's one thing. So it's not all doom and gloom. I think anyone that's worked in healing will testify to the fact that it's very often massive traumas in our life that awaken us and put us on a trajectory to a much more expansive, free, joyful, fulfilling life. And we're seeing a collective trauma happening at the moment. So there's people breaking out of the vibrational prison that they've been in, which can be very, very uncomfortable. But we're there to hold people in that with compassion and love, basically, and with the various different therapies that they choose to engage with. But there's definitely lots shifting. But it's good in a way. It's challenging, but it's good.
Okay. And whereabouts are we now energetically regarding the energies hitting the planet? Because obviously we know that the human frequency is off the charts. A lot of the time it's a whiteout. And I can feel it, and there's people that can feel it. You know, you feel last week, especially for me, with the energies coming in, I felt a very, very heavy weight of very kind of depressive weight, like a wave coming in, and it comes in for a period of time and you feel very, oh God, you know, and then you have that for a while and then it just lifts off and then you're back to normal. And this, obviously, you know, I've been feeling this for over the years with the human frequency going up and up and up all the time. And even one stage when my son and myself were in the local Aldi shopping, we were at the till, and the two of us felt this energy coming in, and only literally lasted for a few minutes and then went off again. And I said, "Do you feel that?" And my son said, "Yeah, I felt that as well." So these energies are having an effect on us Well, some people were picking up on it, and obviously I'm not too sure how that affects people who are not aware of it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I feel it myself because I'm very sensitive to energy. So the energies are super, super intense. And it's like as if we're in a purge. For me, I can only speak from my own experience and perhaps from people that I engage with. It feels like a purging in many ways. So we're getting rid of the density of frequencies within our DNA, within our cellular level, which can feel uncomfortable. It might manifest itself as aches or pains or feeling nauseous or very tired or not being able to sleep properly, needing to just rest. For me, sometimes I get tremors in my body, so it almost feels like it can feel like I've jumped out of a plane. You know that feeling of high adrenaline in your body, and I might get feelings like that for a while. So people are experiencing that, and it's all energy moving and upgrading in many ways. And what I would say to people is to really sit with themselves and nurture themselves and just know that this is all helping to just upgrade ourselves and to raise the frequencies. And it's just helping our physical vessels to anchor in more refined frequencies. Because the more refined frequencies, as in higher frequencies, that we can decode through our physical vessels, the quicker this changes. But we're in an uncomfortable period, and it's different for different people, because if you're just newly awakening to all this, it can feel very, very uncomfortable.
Okay.
And for maybe people that are longer on the path, they're better able to use the tools and techniques that they've developed, or the practices, or they have more of the awareness of how to deal with it, so they can move through it quicker. But for people that are just new to it, it might feel really uncomfortable. But we're definitely, the energies are definitely accelerating. There's no going back on this one, Alan. It's going one way. It's going to be a bit hairy, I'd say. You know, there'll be a lot of stuff within the collective. But what I'd invite people is to think of what I said earlier, that even though there might be absolute chaos in the world and we've pending World War III's, and I turn off my telly years ago, so I, like you, I don't really pay attention to it because I don't want to get into that frequency. But even though there's all that, it doesn't mean that we have to experience that in our daily life.
Exactly.
And the biggest, the best rebellion that we can have, if that's the way you're so inclined, is to keep your own frequency as high as possible.
And also,
you really want to have an impact in the world.
Yeah, and also, you know, don't focus on the things you can't change. Focus on the things you can change. You know, the simple things, the day-to-day stuff, the community things, helping each other, helping community. Yeah. I think that's the big thing. As much as you, obviously, if you can, help out and do it that way. Don't be worrying about the things you can't change. I hear so many people talking about X, Y, and Z. And I go, look, can you do anything about it? And they go, no. And I go, then why are you worrying about it? Why are you letting that rent space in your mind? Go and focus on something else that you can in a positive way. And it's not kind of all kind of the spiritual side and the woo-woo side. It just makes sense that, you know, if we carry this negative energy around with us, it's going to affect us physically at some point.
Yeah.
So we have to be cleansing. Now, I know that obviously people who've been awake and aware for a long time, they probably have a better perception of what's going on, and we can deal with it better because we're aware that these energies are coming in. But new people who are waking up and not aware of it, it's a bit of a kind of shock to their system.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have to deal with the shadow side and the ego, because we can't take that kind of 3D energy with us. And there's a lot of people who are externalizing because they don't want to go back and deal with the emotional baggage and issues that, you know, have happened in the past. But unfortunately, they have to deal with it because, you know, it's going to be inevitable that I keep coming around until they do.
Yeah. And you know, one thing I have noticed as well, because I'm a long time doing healing, I've noticed that in these times of these quickening energies, people can deal with trauma a lot quicker. They don't have to, you know, spend months and years going through trauma to deal, no matter how traumatic their life has been. They can actually deal with it really, really quick in a few healing sessions in many cases. So things can be released and transmuted and transformed much, much quicker in my experience. I'm bearing witness to that in my own life and in other people that come to me and within the center. And the other thing I wanted to say to you, community is very, very important. It's so important for us to build community. Yes, take personal inventory for our own frequency, but to also spend time in community with other people. that lift you up and expand your energy. And it doesn't have to be all woo-woo and it doesn't have to be all spiritual. It can be just literally sitting around, chatting, having a bit of crack, you know, like fun and laughter and joy and dancing and just raising the frequency through joyful connection with other people.
Yeah, I normally say, and I have said it before on the show, you know, from a psychological point of view, because regular listeners know me when it comes to psychology, I always say you have to look at the six people closest to you in your circle and ask yourself, are they adding positivity to your life? And if one or two are negative, you have to kind of push them to one side or reduce your interaction with them and replace them with positive people, because positivity feeds positivity. And this is for not being selfish. This is for your own health and reasons. You know, I mentioned before we went live about energy vampires, and some people don't even know they are energy vampires. When you sit down with somebody and you go, and you say to them, how are you? And then you get 20 minutes of all the dump and the negative energy on it. And you think, oh my God, you come over and you think, God, I feel drained. You know, they might not know that they're doing it. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to take care of your own energy and you have to be aware of that. And so you look at the people around you, and maybe I'm being these days, maybe I'm being a little bit more of a mercenary than I was years ago, but I am kind of being very protective of my energy now, more so. You know, if it is a thing that we're going from a duality to a singularity with the changes of energy, then obviously happy days, but I don't know how long it's going to take and how long this transition will take. But we are definitely going through a change, that's for sure.
100%. And you're right to practice self-care and to be very discerning about your energy and stuff like that. That's very, very important for all of us to do that, because we're no use to anyone. If we're drained and we're not feeling good and our frequency is low, we're useless to, you know, most of us want to help people. But the first thing we need to do is look after ourselves and then build community of people, like-minded people. And the beauty of that, because I'm very visionary, and I understand that as individuals, if we raise our frequency, we create a ripple in the pond. Mm. And then as we get together with like-minded people and raise our frequencies even more together in community, because community does amplify that creates a ripple in the pond. And that ripple in the pond has a profound, profound effect within the field. Mm. There's a movie of The One Field, I think, if anyone wanted to watch it, it kind of explains this. So coming together and keeping our frequencies high, it really, beyond our comprehension perhaps, helps to raise the frequency of the planet and to ease the suffering and to reduce the severity of what we're currently experiencing as we transition from one level of awareness to another.
Well, the one thing you said there at the start, you said about you being a project manager. So you obviously have a corporate background.
I do. I worked for 14 years. Well, I worked for 5 years in pharma and quickly realized that was not going to be in alignment with me. And so then I worked actually as a project manager for a charity. So it was a non-profit charity dealing with corporates. Yes. So I do have the corporate experience, but we worked with disadvantaged youth. Helping to help them to stay in school a bit longer and self-develop and all of that. So that was a nice job, but it was very corporate because I was dealing with all the big corporates. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same. I worked in for Big Pharma, not for too long, not as long as you, but I worked for Big Pharma and I got out of there. But the reason why I brought that up is because in my early days, I'm an IT guy, my professional background is IT, and in the early days, you know, I would walk into my boss and go, we have a problem with X, Y, and Z, and he'd say to me, look, I'm not an IT guy, but I need three solutions, not just the problem. So give me three solutions and I'll pick one, right? And in a way, I learned from that in the early days about energy and about, you know, how to do things. So when people now turn around to me and they say, well, here's the problem, you know, I kind of turn around and go, well, what's your three solutions? Give me three solutions, because we can all be judgmental, as you mentioned earlier, and being judgmental is easy and coming up with the problem is very easy. But taking the energy to think, because even thinking takes energy, taking the energy to think and say, right, give me three solutions. a lot of people won't do it. And yeah. I'm trying to get people to do that, to say, well, look, I'm not going to give you what the solution, because that's too easy. You go off and think of the three solutions, you know, and then we'll talk about it when you come back.
Yeah.
And because, you know, givers and takers, the flow of energy with people. And this is what, you know, what needs to be done, what we all need to do. Now, there are times that our energies are down and we just want a quick solution. And I get that. But I'm just talking in general that when the problem comes up, because there are people who will just tell you what the problem is. The barroom politicians, especially, they're great at telling you the problem. Brilliant at telling you the problem. Or they might, I don't know about you, I know you said you lead by example, but have you come across people that would come up with some great idea, and you might say, well, actually, why don't you run with that? Because that's great. And they go, oh, no, I don't run with that. I'll just give you the idea, but you can run with that. And you think, no, I have enough to do. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, people have great visions, but it's sometimes hard to put on a practical basis, you know. But certainly, I mean, I think one of the solutions is for everyone to bring it back to themselves, look at their own inner resonance. Mm. In whatever way that shows up, and listen to their own inner guru, so to speak, and stop giving our power away to politicians who don't care about us.
Mm.
People have this illusion that politicians, big pharma, big banks, that they care about the lay people. They don't. And if we have to stop giving our power away to them all the time and start building our own communities, which that's one of the beauties of COVID, the whole COVID thing is, there is small communities beginning to, like, living in almost like a parallel universe alongside the mainstream. And they're starting to sprout up now. And bringing it back to small communities and taking personal responsibility for our own communities and our own health and our own little networks and food and electricity and all of that, that's one potential solution. But it's up to individuals to choose whether they want to build that within their local community.
Where do you think this is going to go, Yvonne? Because obviously there's a lot of issues regarding the supply chain, and people are kind of worried about it, and people are beginning to stock up and prices are going up. Do you think this is another kind of COVID lesson for us, but in another way, as part of the awakening process?
Yeah, I think it's to remind us that, again, don't give our power away to people, and to start practicing and educating ourselves around self-sufficiency and to not buy into it, because there's going to be a lot of fear now around inflation and cost of living and food and all that. You know, I suspect that that's being ramped up at the moment. But it's first and foremost, don't get pulled into that story, because if you get pulled into that story, guess what? We are creators. So if we get pulled into that story, we're going to create our own nightmare if we continue to buy into it. So it's one, to not get pulled into that. So take an honest inventory of yourself and where you're getting potentially pulled into it, where you might feel fear. And then take practical steps, like actually learning how to either network. If you're not capable of growing your own veg, network with local communities and start to barter and start to create small communities within your area of people that can share resources and come at it from a point of collaboration and co-creating together. And helping each other out and being more self-sufficient and stop giving our power away and expecting government to come in and help us, because they're not going to.
No, they never will. They're not designed
and they
to.
They never have. They give the illusion they have, but they don't. You only have to look at the chaos in the world to see that the governments don't really ultimately care about us. That's all just for show. You've seen how quickly they rallied money for the unmentionables, but yet they can't rally money together for homeless or for other things that are much more critical.
Of course. I mean, they've been doing that, spinning the plate since 1922, and that's exactly what they've been doing. They're there just to keep the status quo, and the 1% are the 1%, because if we all became part of the 1%, then there wouldn't be the 1%, and the 1% wouldn't like it. So they keep spinning the plates and hoping. And people hope that they're going to change everything, and they won't, because they're not designed to do it and they're not supposed to do it. Just maybe this time as a mention, it's time now just to give it a mention as you're talking about bartering. Folks, just to give you news, an update, just say the website barteringireland.com is up and running. If you want to register as a producer or supplier of goods, or you want to barter, if you just email me and the information, I'll just go over to the website barteringireland.com and register on there. sign up, and then we'll put you on the database. And when we have enough people on the database, then it'll go live, and then people can actually start dealing with the local communities or people in the local area and give them business rather than the big stores. So just to let people know, I don't know whether you know, Yvonne, that I set up a website called barteringireland.com. And it's for local people to in the 32 counties to actually put their details. You know, they might be selling chickens, or and it might be the case. It might be money. It might be labor. It might be energy, or it might be bartering. You know, so this is the whole idea, because we don't know where it's going to go. You know, and okay, we can manifest and we can make sure we're not on that frequency, but there's some people that will be worried and concerned about it. So that's there just in case. And so if people get over there, and if you do produce goods and stuff like that, then go over there and register. Right, okay, we've got a couple of questions in, so we go over to the questions and we'll see what's there. Joan wants to know, a couple of questions from Joan. Joan wants to know, does Yvonne know the great work of Lisa Temple?
Of who?
Lisa Temple.
Lisa Temple, I don't actually. I'm curious now.
Yeah, no, Lisa's been on the show. She was on the show last year or the year before that, I think. I had Lisa on, and Lisa's a Facebook friend, and she's exposing quite a bit of what's going on, you know. So you check her out on Facebook.
I've just written the name down, so Lisa Temple. I'll have a look at that, because I'm an avid learner. I like to read stuff, and so thank you, Joan, for pointing her in my direction.
Yeah. Okay, and John wants to know a question. With mass psychosis being the norm for many people due to the scandemic, to today's scam on Ukraine, how can people see good, and how can we that we know better to help them?
I think, it always comes back to ourselves. Be very cognizant of your own energy and your own frequency. And even like, it's kind of like what I mentioned earlier, when we fully align within ourselves with something, even when we don't speak, we resonate this frequency that can actually impact the people around us. So if we really cultivate a strong frequency within ourselves and practice love and compassion for ourselves and for all the people that are completely locked into the matrix. And I know that's hard, because sometimes you just want to shake them and go, will you, for God's sake, wake up, I mean, there's so much, you can experience frustration. But if you just be aware of your own frequency, just by being in that frequency, you're impacting people.
I would say also, instead of being frustrated, ask them questions.
Yeah.
Say, well, what do you think of this and what do you think of this? See, again, it takes energy to think. And I think over the COVID 2 years, a lot of people outsourced their thinking to the government. They kind of go, I can't be bothered. Let the government do it. And you think, well, you're outsourcing, you're giving your energy to them rather than you thinking. And again, the whole idea, give us all processed food. We sit on the couch, like couch potatoes, and just watch, endless hours of crap TV. And that suits them to the ground. That's what they want us to do. And we have to kind of break out of that and kind of become more aware. And that's what, one thing that we, everybody kind of agrees to, I think, when we step outside the matrix, is we stop watching the TV, stop watching, listen to all the rubbish that's on it, because we know, it's all propaganda anyway. Yeah. Stephen has made not so much a question, but a statement on the chat room. And he said, Yvonne, it's not a case of not buying into it. It's unavoidable when you need to travel or heat your home, oil, gas, etc. You are pulling into their reality when you buy their fuel at exaggerated prices.
Yeah, I mean, there is, of course, we have to engage in the matrix to some extent, because we are here to live in this matrix and we're here to transform it. So, I do recognize that. But again, for me, it's just really about being self-aware around ourselves. I mean, I've never worn a mask and I never had a lanyard on me and I never had a doctor's note. And before I went into the shops, I used to just almost to kind of mindfully say, well, look, this is me. This is my frequency. And I very rarely got people even commenting or saying anything to me. And I flew on a plane without a mask as well, without any of that. But I know we have to deal with the matrix, and there's certain things we just have to do. But I it's just around, I think, really looking at our own frequency all the time and remembering we create our reality.
Yeah, and I think
we create our reality, even the bad stuff. So even if we go in and get grief off somebody, there's some frequency within us that's bringing that resonance within our energy field.
Yeah, and I think half the battle is, you know, okay, we pull into the petrol station and we know the fuel's, you know, expensive and that's their system. But at least if we have a perception and understanding of why it is expensive and what they're doing and what they're up to, that kind of mitigates the whole kind of the energy and the frequency. I think, again, it goes to understanding what's going on, understanding the magic trick and how it's being done. And if you understand the magic trick and what they're doing and how they're doing it, like COVID was a fantastic psychological ploy for the masses. It was unreal. You know, the whole idea that they knew that, you know, if they pushed out the fear, it shuts down the prefrontal cortex, which is your logical, critical thinking, and you go into fight and flight mode. And by doing that, you're not thinking, you're just panicking, which way do I go? And they knew how to play that card. And a lot of people fell for it because they were pushing out the fear 24/7 on the media. And the people who didn't watch the media, guess what? They didn't. There was no fear because we weren't being subjected to that constant fear and that barrage from the media. And they played this. They played a blinder. I mean, even the Irish government, they did the same thing. And that's why all the kind of logic went out the window with people. They couldn't kind of, even if you went up to them and gave them the evidence, the logic, they couldn't compute it because they were in fear.
Yeah. No, totally. I totally agree with that. We have to have compassion for them, you know.
Yeah, totally, totally. Well, look, again, it's people on a path, as I say, people are all on a path of knowledge, and some people are further than others. And it doesn't mean that we have to be arrogant if we're further down the path and awake and aware. And if anything, we have to be more compassionate with the people who aren't there. And as I say to people, if they do wake up, and they start saying, well, I'm not too sure about these smart meters and or these, you know, fluoride in the water. You don't go and give them, oh, here's information from Area 51. You think, no, that's too much for them. Give them information on the level they're at. And then gradually they will start to go down their own rabbit holes and start investigating. But don't, just because they've woken up doesn't mean they're ready for the big stuff. Because somebody who's woke up 2 months ago would not be, I mean, you and me have been awake for a very long time. I'm sure we've gone down a lot of rabbit holes. Some of that stuff we couldn't give them because it would just blow their mind. They wouldn't be ready for it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? So, and it's also to be, you know, to be very conscious of the fact that really, you know, it's not our duty. Like, how people respond to the information you give them is really none of our business, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, and like, we can try and share information and lead by example, but it's not up to us to people wake up and they're ready. We can't dictate when people are going to wake up.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And if anything, all we can do is be there. And if they ask questions, try and point them in the direction to the evidence and go, well, here's the evidence. You know, you make up your own mind. This is why I love the psychology, because the whole idea of the fluid belief system was all about how the mind works rather than worrying about whether the moon is made of cheese. Because you could argue all night whether the moon's made of cheese, but if you actually approach it from a psychological point of view and using logic, you know, like I would say to people, I don't kind of bother anymore Yvonne, waking people up. I'm not really interested in doing that anymore. But what I do is apply the logic, and I go, okay, so, you know, I'd say, right, okay, so an opinion is only an opinion until you have evidence, and then it becomes a fact. But if you have two kids and you hear something breaking and you run inside and two kids have two different stories, you don't just listen to one of your kids and you ignore the other kid, because how valid is your opinion if you only have one side of the story? You'd listen to the two stories from the two kids and then you'd make up, obviously work out what the truth really is. And this is what I say to people, and they go, I say, does that make sense? And they go, yeah, that makes sense. And I go, well, there you go. How can you form an opinion if all you're doing is listening to the news all the time and you're only getting one side of the narrative? How valid is your opinion? And they go, oh, yeah, I see what you mean. There's the logic, you know?
Yeah, that's a good analogy to give people, actually, yeah.
You know, so I again, we break it down into the psychology and apply logic to the argument. And when you apply the logic, they go, okay, well, that makes sense. I get that. You know, I understand that. And then that hopefully triggers something with them to start investigating or start looking at the information. But there are going to be people who just won't be interested. I mean, you know yourself, Yvonne. Just people that you should never wake up because they'd be a danger to themselves. So what's your approach to that? Have you come across them?
I have, yeah. I mean, I've come across people, but I always take I respect that people are on their own journey and that, you know, ultimately I know nothing really and I don't know what somebody's chosen life path is. And so I just try to practice non-judgment around it and honour the fact that that's where they're at and that's their perception and that might never change and that's okay. I'll just continue on doing my thing and trying to live my life as best I can to be a true example of who I am and a true expression of my talents and my skills and what I'm here to do.
Okay, and do you have any stories that you can tell us of people that you've been shocked at that have woken up and have completely done a 180 and are impressed by that they've actually gone and, especially family and friends, have you seen that happen?
Not with family, no. I'm still firmly the black sheep. I'm trying to think, a lot of my friends have been away. I mean, there's a lot of people have woken up during COVID, definitely, because they started to question everything. I'm trying to think, is there anybody in particular that's been like, wow? I mean, I've been shocked sometimes by the phone calls I get of people demanding certain things to be seen as a therapist. But, you know, that they're very locked into the matrix and they want all sorts of things done before you know, like antigen tests and stuff before you'll see them. But I'm trying to think, is there somebody I know that had a really quick awakening? I mean, I did have one client who had an awakening during lockdown, a young lad, and he had an experience during lockdown and it completely blew his mind and everything that he thought was something before lockdown and suddenly the whole world opened up to him. So it took him a while, which is great to see that people can wake up so quickly. But he was integrating that for a while, yeah.
It took a while. And what about...
Yeah, because it does blow your mind a bit, you know. Suddenly you're like, Jesus, nothing is what it seems. And everything you believed to be true suddenly isn't. So that can take a while for people to integrate that and to sit with that and to allow that to land fully in them.
Oh, yeah, but I've been there, trust me. I didn't sleep for about 24 hours, I think. Digesting and thinking about going through everything. Tell us, have you come across anybody who had issues regarding the health after having the jab?
Yes, we're seeing that in the centre, yeah.
Tell us more about that. Can you do that?
Pardon?
Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, we've had an awful lot and they're not being recognised by the medical profession. So as very often happens with holistic therapies, they're coming to us as a last resort. But we've seen a lot of people with menstrual cycle issues, people with heart problems, young people that have had inflammation and brain inflammation. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But yes, we have definitely seen that coming into the centre, yeah.
Yeah. And did you have any kind of suggestion as to what's the best way to deal with it?
It's very individual for the individual person. But I mean, one of the first things I say to people is to detox, absolutely detox and really start to try and, I can only speak from my own experience. I don't claim to be an expert on this, but as a healer and somebody who works with energy, in my experience, I have noticed that it does drop the life force in people. Okay. It almost disconnects their life force to some extent or a large extent, depending. So I encourage people to detox and to really try to bring their life force back up by spending time in nature and doing healing and setting them off on a journey in that direction, should they choose to. But we're definitely seeing people with adverse effects coming into the centre, yeah.
That was something that was reported by some people saying they feel a disconnect with source after having the jab. And I mean, I don't know what that feeling is, but a number of people have actually said that after having the jab. Now, I know, obviously, there was three apparently levels. There was the placebo, there was the actual vaccine, and then there's a vaccine plus an extra ingredient in there. And obviously, you know, there's a number of people got the placebo, and this is kind of how they do trials anyway. Now, I know they're pushing the fourth booster coming out. I know, what's his name in the UK, the Prime Minister in the UK, Boris, turned around and he was talking about, you know, we're going to do the fourth booster. People are going to need it. Now, I don't think, if people have asked me, they said, do you think we're going to go back to the mask wearing and the COVID ID? Well, look, we do know, I mentioned the story earlier on about the cashless society, and, you know, that's the ultimate aim. Whether they get there is another thing. That's down to us and down to the people. But this is what, that's the wet dream. That's what you want to do. That's where you want to go, is to have the cashless society, have the control over your life. Will they try roll out the passports and stuff like that? I don't know. I don't think COVID worked for them. Based on the information and the intel that I've got, that they are desperate for money, and they have taken over Pfizer. Pfizer has been delisted, apparently, and because they realised that there was a lot of money made out of the vaccines, the sale of the vaccine. So hence why they're pushing the fourth booster, because they need the money. As to the war that's going on, it was mentioned that we probably only have another month or so, maybe, at this moment in time of the war, because it costs a lot of money to run a war, and if they don't have a lot of money, then obviously they won't it won't go on for too long. Now, that's subject to change, obviously, but this is the intel that I've been getting from my sources. I have another question for you that's come in from CXZR7. And the question is, I might have missed it, but what would you call the treatment type that you use if you have one?
Well, there's different treatments you can use. I mean, me, I use sound. I think sound has a huge part to play. Sound healing and energy healing is what I would use. But whether it has a long-term effect, I don't know. To be honest, this is all the great unknown for us, but energy and sound healing, and then using the detoxes that I recommend to people to help them detox their body, which I think we could all do with it, because we're exposed, all of us are exposed to so much anyway, is a medical medium detox is what I would recommend. I don't know if any of your listeners know medical medium.
No, do you want to explain what it is?
So medical medium is a guy who he would have been behind kind of celery juicing and stuff like that, celery juicing and lemon water and a lot of raw food. And he does a 9-day cleanse or a 28-day cleanse. If you look at him up on Instagram or his website, I think is medicalmedium.com. A lot of information. A lot of his information is contrary to the mainstream narrative. So he's like a channel, and he's channeling information around how food can heal our body. So a lot of the stuff is contrary to the mainstream. So, yeah, he's a conspiracy theorist.
Okay.
If you like. Well, he's not, you know what I mean, but he's turning it on its head. A lot of what we're told about mainstream nutrition is inverted, like everything else, you know.
Yeah.
So he's a very interesting, and I've personally done his cleanses and found them very beneficial, not just physically but multidimensionally. So I definitely recommend. And there was one lady, and I can give you an example just for that listener. I had one lady who had a very, very, very severe effect from the first jab, like brain inflammation and everything, and pain all over her body. Her life was in a bad way health-wise, and she's never getting another jab again. But I recommended it to her, to just in conversation, you know, said, look, you know, try the medical medium, do this cleanse. And she actually texted me a couple of months later, because I hadn't seen her, and said that since she started doing that cleanse, her body was now pain-free.
Very good, very good.
So it worked on some level, do you know what I mean? So yeah, there's lots we can do. And I think as well for us to remember that we can always overcome anything. I know some people are saying, oh, once they have the jab, that's it. That's, you know, they're forever maimed or whatever. But I don't believe that. We're infinite beings with infinite potential. So regardless of what's being put into that, even if it's nanotechnology or whatever's in it, whatever the theory is around it, I do feel that we can in some way overcome it.
Okay.
And that kind of healing technology will reveal itself as and when it's ready. But I do think sound is part of it.
Yeah, sound. Well, sound,
that's my own feeling.
Sound is important. Obviously, Rife technology and Rife frequencies, which we've talked about before, spooky machines and all that kind of stuff, which is quite important. So frequencies would, you know, play into that as well. And that's from a healing point of view. The the cleansing. The one thing I'm concerned about the vegetation and the vegetables that we have is we need to go back to a good soil pH and nitric oxide in the plants. We don't have that now. You know, as a friend of mine said, when you go into SuperValu, you smell nothing. But if you go into a proper fruit and veg shop, you smell loads of stuff, you know, and that's the difference. I think the stuff we're getting in the big stores are just, you know, it's not good stuff. And I think what we need to do is, when you said go back to community, go back to planting and learning all about that and being self-sufficient, you know, one of the things that I would focus on going down that road, if money was available, was definitely the learning to get the pH of the soil back up, where when the vegetables grow, that you're getting the nitric oxide back into the vegetables. So when you're juicing and all that, you're really getting the good stuff in your body. And I think that's where we have to go, because a lot of the seeds that come over here to Ireland, obviously to go through customs, they get radiated by the bloody scanners coming in, and which obviously has an effect on them.
It's coming at all levels. I think trying and wild foraging, people should try and wild forage as well. There's an abundance of stuff there if they know what to forage for. I can't say I've done it myself, but I'm learning about it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to be said for foraging food that's in the immediate environment that you're in, because it's almost calibrated to your frequency because it's in the environment that you're in, because we're energy beings. So that's something we can do, and that's freely available.
Yeah. Especially if you're out in the country, you know.
But even I was even surprised, like, we've done wild foraging workshops in my centre with a lady called Ursula, and even along patios and stuff like that, there's so much that we can wild forage and make green juices out of, that you don't have to be in meadows and forests. I mean, it can be walking along the pavement almost, there's stuff there.
You know what?
I just don't realise it. You know, I was shocked by the amount of stuff, because when we did the wild foraging, I thought we'd have to go right down. I live in Blessington beside the lakes, and I thought we'd have to go right down to the lakes and the forests and the meadows to start actually getting stuff to eat. But sure, on the pathway down to it, she was picking up stuff to eat.
You know what? I think that's a great idea. I think if you had somebody like that who could be hired to go to a community or a village, and obviously the village pay for that person, and you do a foraging course for the people in the village of what's around the actual village.
Yeah.
So that
absolutely
means,
and I can give you her number. If anyone wants her number, she does it. She travels. She's an amazing lady. She's come a few times to my own centre and did like a 3-hour workshop and made food out of all the stuff she collected and everything. But she'd be very happy to do that. She's very knowledgeable. She's like an encyclopedia. So if you want her number, I can pass it on to you, I'm sure.
Yeah, let's do that. And what we might do is, if she's up for doing an interview as well, we can get her on.
She would be, yeah. She's a brilliant character, yeah.
Yeah, let's get her on. But I definitely think there's potential there, because I don't have green fingers, right? I mean, literally, I kill plants, you know. I tried it, you know. And the thing is, I know people say you have to grow your own, but the way I see it is, if you don't have an acre of land, or you don't have enough, if you're not grown enough to sustain and rotate the food that you're growing, then I don't see the point in doing it technically, because as soon as you eat what you have there in the garden, it's gone and that's it. So, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed when I was doing it and I had a little greenhouse, I enjoyed it. I liked pottering around again, just good grounding, getting your hands in the soil and all that kind of stuff. I enjoyed it. I'm just not good at it. So to have somebody like that to be able to come to your village and say, well, okay, we're going to have a group of people and we're going to pay whatever, you know, we all chip in. And then she will have a walk around. We'll show her where the village and show her the fields and stuff like that in the local area. And then she'll probably be able to go, yeah, okay, that. Because I definitely know two people that would be interested, along with myself, doing that. And if we could get more people involved, I mean, I can advertise it, but we can get more people in, and then we'll just walk around, and if she goes, yeah, do you have an abundance? Because I don't want to work on the frequency of the scaremongering regarding the food chain, but wouldn't it be great to be able to say, well, I can go across to the field over there and I can get my dinner. And I don't have to worry about going down to Aldi or SuperValu if they close down or they don't have anything. You know, I mean,
and it's abundant as well. It's a never ending. And she's German, and she said that the beauty of Ireland is that the wild foraging here in Ireland is good all year round.
Yeah.
So you won't starve if you have knowledge. Like, knowledge is power.
Yeah, totally.
And as I said, in terms of energy, eating in your local environment, the stuff that's grown in your local environment is better calibrated to your frequency as well.
Exactly. And I think that's a great idea. So I think we'll have to do that, Yvonne. I think that's...
Yeah. I'll connect you with her. She's a great lady. I said she stays with me when she does the foraging workshops here. And she's brilliant. She's her knowledge. And she's very, very awake and aware. And she's an absolute legend. So, I'll connect you.
Brilliant. Let's do that. Let's get her on. Let's do a show and let's see what we can arrange from a community point of view. And we can get her out there, because if she doesn't mind doing a bit of travelling. And where is she coming from?
She's up in Leitrim. She's German and she's up in Leitrim. But she'll hop on a bus. Like, she's brilliant. She's a great woman.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe we can organise something. But look, definitely we can. I'd like to do that. I think that would be great. Just to have the knowledge to know that, you know, in the field across where I live, that if anything happened, I could go over there and I can grab a few things together and I can cook a stew or cook some kind of juicing or doing something like that. I think that would be very good. So definitely let's organise that. And then, folks, if you think that's a good idea and you have a little community or a group of people that would benefit from knowing how to forage locally if the proverbial hits the fan, and it's going to be free, email me at contactus@circlewhitelight.com and we'll organise it. We'll organise something. We'll get our details, have her on. And obviously the lady has to be paid because she's going to be travelling and her time as well. But we can sort that out, because I think this is very, in the time that we're at the moment, I think this is very, very important. And I think it would be a great idea. And maybe we can turn it, like, for me, I run my local village website, as does Steve. And I think what we could do is we could take photos and talk about them and put them up locally to let, you know, and have a foraging area on the website if people want to know about the plants and all that kind of stuff. Plus the fact that, you know what, you know, memory sometimes can be, you know, as we get older, we forget things. So I sometimes what I do is I make a YouTube video or something that I do. Because if I forget how to do it, I just go back to the video and it's there. And I've done that a few times. So, you know, so that might be a good idea that we have it on video as well, if she doesn't mind. She doesn't have to be on
video.
Yeah,
she'd be open to all that, I'd say,
You know, because I think that would be great to do that. That's definitely a positive. So, folks, if you're listening to this, and I think it's a good idea, and it's not just the people in Ireland, but I'm sure there's people in everybody else is listening from different countries. I'm sure there's people in your own country that can do the same thing. And it might be just an idea. You know, I always say it's better to have it and not need it, and need it and not have it. And if you have the knowledge, but you don't need it, that's fine. But it's better to have it, you know. So I think that's a brilliant idea, Yvonne. Now, have you got any more good ideas?
Keep a sense of humour. Seriously, like, I think we have to laugh at the craziness sometimes and keep a sense of humour. I was at a retreat, I don't know if we're finishing up now, but as a closing comment, perhaps, I was at a retreat the weekend and up in Westport. It was amazing. But we were kind of shooting the breeze and chatting, and I was chatting to one of the guys there, and I said, wouldn't it be a great protest, instead of going and shouting at government buildings and you know, all pitchforks and anger and stuff, why don't we just all gather and laugh? And because you can't be angry and fearful if you're laughing your head off. And I just think the energy of that would, apart from the fact that we'd all have great crack, but the energy and the frequency of that would certainly create a big ripple in the pond of just laughing. And so I think we should keep a sense of humour and laugh.
You know, I think you're right, and I agree. Reverse psychology, it always works. I think it's always good. I think what you could do is you'd have a big kind of big screen, right? And then they put the politicians up on the screen, like Micheál Martin, and everybody just falls around laughing. And Micheál Martin and the other politicians would be scratching their head going, what are you laughing at? What? It's just me. Why are they laughing?
Yeah. And that, just, you know, it just shows that you're not, you can't be in fear and laugh, you know? So it raises the frequency. And I just think it'd be, you know, and we love a laugh here in Ireland. So why not just laugh? Laugh at the craziness of it and use every opportunity you can in the day to just have a laugh.
Exactly. And you know what I always say? Dance.
Put dance on, as well.
Put on your favourite music.
We were doing that on the beach in Westport. We were laughing and dancing and swimming in the sea. And we just said, you know what, as a group, the group of us that were there, we said, we're raising the vibration here. We're sending it across the ocean on the Atlantic, you know.
Yeah.
All the laughter and the joy and the playfulness. So we have to keep that in mind as well when things get really intense.
Yeah, I always say to, you know, and I said, that's my little secret that I let out on air, that when I'm cooking the family dinner, I actually put on the 70s channel music or 80s channel and I have it on the background and I'm doing a bit of a dance while I'm doing the cooking. And,
brilliant.
You know, and because, you know, there's music that we enjoy and why not? Why listen to depressing rubbish? Put on the music that you like. And if you're cooking or doing whatever you're doing, or you're cleaning or whatever, put it on and sing to it. And that's the whole idea. Now, you know, I know it's hard if you're feeling a bit down. I know it's hard to motivate yourself, but trust me, after you have one or two songs playing that you like, your body will start to move, you know, and that's my tip. Just music, yeah. Being a musician as well, music for me has been my saving grace in my life, you know, in all the years I've been playing music. And it was definitely a positive and entertaining and fun. So, you know, I'm a big, big fan of music and I'd recommend that, you know. But, yeah, I totally agree. We have to, more so than ever, again, it's not a case of woo-woo and just ignoring the negative stuff. I think we all know what the problems are. We all know the negative stuff. We know what the problems are. And what we're trying to do now is, you know, you can catalogue them and put them into whatever, you know, folder you want to put them into, break them up. But at the end of the day, once you're aware of what's going on and you have a perception of the negative stuff, then the focus is, okay, now I know what's going on. I know there's a group of people in the world, that you call them the cabal if you want, and they're going to destroy societies, destroy the people and everything else. But I'm not going to let them do that. And then I'm going to turn the table and I'm going to focus on the positive. And it's, you know, I know that might be simplistic, but that's really what it is. You have bad guys who don't want you, you know, having a good life and enjoying yourself, and they want to, you know, bring your energy down. And what we have to do is bring our energy up.
Yeah. And dancing and laughing and connecting with people is one way to do that. It's a beautiful way to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Question from CXZR7. Get Joan's question in if you can, a good way to wind up. Okay, Joan's question. Let me see if I can find Joan's question. Where's Joan's question? Joan, if you can put your question back up, I don't see it there on the chat room, and we'll ask that question there. Okay, so exactly, you know, they have these kind of laughter workshops. You've probably seen them.
Yeah.
And I seen the video on YouTube where the guy purposely got on YouTube and he was looking at his tablet, and it was the experiment where he just started to laugh at the tablet, and then, you know, as if, you know, he was watching something funny on the tablet, and he just started laughing, and then people start looking at him and then laughing at him, and then they were laughing at themselves laughing at him, and then over, like, within a few minutes, everybody on the actual underground was laughing.
Yeah.
Everybody was laughing, and the energy, you know, and just because he went in, now he was obviously an expert and he knew what he was doing, and that was the whole experiment, to get people laughing. And and there's another experiment of people, of a guy dancing on his own at this music festival, and there's always the leader to kind of do the embarrassing thing and dance on your own, like getting up on when you're at a wedding and the first person has to get up on the dance floor. And before you know it, somebody else gets up, and then somebody else gets up. So it's not a case of everybody following the leader. It's everybody following each other. And you get the ripple in the pond. And this is all the good stuff, but there always has to be an instigator to start it, I suppose. So not everybody will be a leader, but you can still be a follower and get up and then, you know, be part of the crowd. Okay, Steve, Joan, question. Does Yvonne believe one's gut instinct has great power in an individual's life?
100%. It's how I live my life. And you see, a lot of us have disconnected ourselves from our gut instinct or our intuition. And I've made decisions throughout my life that probably didn't make sense to logical mind, but my gut instinct has never, ever, ever let me down.
Yeah.
So I think that's what should lead us. But we have to learn how to discern what is our gut instinct. And we do that through being still and mindful and meditation and just learning to practice that, you know, exercise that muscle. But 100% our gut instinct is what we should be living off. That's the great intelligence within.
Now, there's an argument for that, because there are people who turn around and go, it's actually not our gut instinct, but it should be from our heart.
Well, when I speak about gut instinct, that's what I mean. So perhaps I should clarify that, as in, you know, listen to your own intuition, your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I mean by that. So maybe some people might interpret that differently, but your heart, follow through your heart.
Yeah. Because your soul will always tell you the truth. Your mind is the one that will confuse you and tell you different. Okay. Question from Joan. This is the question, I think, that CXZR said, you have brought something to my mind, years in my thoughts. Music is being destroyed. Yeah, I can definitely vouch for that, John. The music industry is destroying music completely. Years ago, babies, children would move or sway to music. Now it's all visual with agendas. Totally.
100%. Yeah, I agree with that too. I mean, there's a rabbit hole in everything that surrounds our society.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, which, you know, can be slightly frustrating. But I agree with it. Yeah, some of the more modern day music has destroyed it, and there's another agenda underlaid within it.
Yeah.
But music can be used in the right context, incredibly healing and transformative and joyful and spontaneous and everything.
Definitely. The music business has been destroyed by the likes of The X Factor and Pop Idol. And during the week, funny enough, I was watching a couple of videos of people who are big in the music industry commenting on how the music industry is being destroyed by these shows. And obviously the auto-tune and all that kind of stuff. And it's all about the money and getting contracts and... yeah, totally. And I totally, you know, agree on that. And we need to get back. We need to sidestep these big music companies, the likes of Simon Cowell's and stuff like that. We need to sidestep them. And we need to say, okay, no, we're going to go back to the proper music. We're just going to ignore. We're not going to buy your music. We're not going to listen to your music. And we're just going to do something different. Now, it's something that I have in the back of my mind. Now, I had an idea. I'm going to put it out there to the universe and to the listeners. And it was exactly this reason. Obviously, running a radio show, I get emails all the time from people who are unsigned acts with their sending in the demos and they want their music to be played. Now, my show is a talk show. It's not a music show. But it gave me an idea. And I said, well, maybe there should be a separate radio show purely to play people's demos. So people can tune in 24/7 and listen to the demos. Obviously, there has to be a little bit of a charge because, you know, you have to, you know, pay for hosting and websites and all that kind of stuff. But only a small charge, only a small monthly charge. But they get their songs played and aired. And some people could tune in if they want to listen to this music and they'll hear a song by an artist and they might go, oh, I like that. We'll go off to the website and they'll buy the song because they like it, and they'll get some kind of finance for their work rather than the likes of some of these, I don't know, what you call them, these websites that apparently play the music but they don't pay the artist any money or very little money. So that was kind of an idea I had in the back of the mind, but I'm only one person, and it just, that's a major project to take on. But yeah, that was just one idea, Yvonne.
Yeah. And I think it's all about bringing it back to ourselves again, like, and just creating our own music, creating our own platforms that are alternative to because we're witnessing the destruction of all the old systems. This is what we're in the middle of at the moment. They're all falling apart, essentially. So we have to focus our energy on building the new and building new networks, creating our own music, our own platforms to showcase that music within our communities. This is what we should focus our energy on. And people are incredibly creative and resilient and can create amazing things when we come together.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. And the whole thing about, SoundCloud, I think Steve already offered that service. Yeah, but there's a lot of these companies that are offering are paying peanuts to the artists. They're not really paying at all. SoundCloud is more of a podcast thing. I think it's the bigger, Napster and all these kind of companies that were out there. They weren't giving the royalties to the actual artists. I think we are very creative people. And again, we have to get together. But I do feel there's an element of us, you know, people being burnt or being affected. And because we've been affected and being burnt, or somebody has hurt us or done something that that we were kind of reluctant to get involved back in community. And again, it obviously takes energy as well. So I think we have to kind of bury the hatchet, because if we're going to move on and grow together as a community, but vibe with your own tribe, that's what I'd say.
Vibe with your own tribe, yeah. And they'll come. Like, I've noticed that loads of people are coming in and out of my life at the right, you know, in a lovely synchronistic way to help build that community and co-create things together and all of that. So,
yeah, definitely. And well, maybe it's the kind of energies again and the whole idea of the manifestation and what we put out there. And I always say to people as well, there's no harm getting a cup of tea, sitting down, and then just having to think of what you want in your life, what you want to happen. It costs nothing to do it. And it's, again, it's a thought, it's an energy that goes out there to the universe. Sit down and you can go, what if? You know, and I know a lot of people probably feel, oh, well, there's no point doing that because it won't happen. That's a very negative, glass half empty approach. I would just sit down, and I've done it myself. I've just let the creative juices flow, or let the ideas flow, and go, what if? What if we could do that? What if we can't that? You know, and it's actually a positive thing. I kind of get some positivity from doing that, you know, even though it might never happen. I don't know, it might never happen. But the fact I'm putting the thought out there in the universe, you never know.
Yeah. Well, that's it. It's just to really remember that we can create. And the key to manifesting, in my experience, is to remove the barriers that are preventing us from manifesting it.
Definitely. So what's the plans for Yvonne and your centre? What are you going to be doing going forward now you have a third centre?
Following my heart, Alan. Well, it's to get them on track now, you know, now that things are for now, just keep building them, keep reaching out to more people. And we're starting to do wellness events now as well. I'm hoping to go into a university and do a wellness day in April. They contacted me. I'll hopefully get the green light tomorrow for that. So we're going to work with youth, kind of giving taster sessions. So we're building it into creating wellness experiences for people. And I don't know, I follow my heart in what I do. Like, I just see myself as a facilitator for the premises and all the people that work there. So I just allow source to filter through what needs to happen for the highest and purest good of everybody. I do feel there's expansion coming. I intuitively feel that, and I feel there's possibly more centres coming and some co-creative projects with really visionary people that are creating stuff to help people. Like, there's a whole grid, a whole network of people that are ready for the tsunami of mental health that we're going to experience, or in the throes of experiencing. So I think that's where it's going to be. In what way that exactly looks, I've no idea, but I know the universe will let it flow whatever way it's meant to.
So if you go back 10 years, which I tend to go back when I, obviously myself and Steve first started the show, in OIM Radio in 2010, I mean, I am seeing a massive change and shift since that time, even in that 10-year period. Have you looked back at that? Have you seen that as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, gosh, yeah, definitely. I mean, 10 years ago, I was probably the only one who had the perception I had in all my circles. Whereas now most of my friends would have open minds, shall we say. Not all of them, but most of them, and certainly, and most of my clients do as well. So there's definitely a huge awakening happening, and people opening their minds and their perceptions. So yeah, you can definitely see an acceleration in that.
Brilliant.
But on the other side, there's also almost like a tightening and vibrational push down on those that aren't awakened yet. You know, it's almost like there's an intensification on both sides. But there's definitely more people waking up. You can see it. And it's beautiful to witness and to see and to experience. And I'm very optimistic for the future. I know there's a couple of really intense things happening, but I am actually very optimistic and have a sense of joy within me.
Okay. And what about this split that we keep hearing about the split of energies? I mean, do you believe the Dolores Cannon approach, 3D, 5D? What's your approach to that? What's your idea with that?
I keep an open mind and everything. I do think there is a split in vibrational terms, that, like I just described there. There's some people that are nearly further plugged into the matrix, and there's other people that are breaking free and expanding. But I mean, who knows what will unfold? The sky's the limit. So in some ways, I do look at 3D, 5D, but why limit ourselves with that? There's so much more that potentially could happen. But I am seeing that split, though, at the moment.
Yeah.
But like I said, I keep a very fluid point of view on things.
Mm. Yeah, no, definitely keep it fluid. We have to, because obviously it's changing all the time, every day. Yeah. It's just, I'm interested in that because obviously there's a lot of people, the divide, I think COVID has really put a line down the middle, and it really has showed us the split over the 2 years we've had the lockdown.
Oh, absolutely. And it's shown me to learn acceptance that people are where they are.
Yeah.
And to accept them and love them anyway, unconditionally.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and as I say, there's some people that will never kind of wake up to what's going on. And that's their journey. Do you believe in reincarnation, that we're here in a journey and that in our next life there might be another learning? Is that kind of your belief system at the moment?
I do believe in reincarnation, yeah. Yeah, I do. But I think I'm open to the possibility that, I've heard some people talk about that reincarnation is like being stuck in a loop on this timeline.
Mm.
So I'm open to the possibility that, you know, there's something beyond reincarnation as well. But yeah, because I, you know, within my own existence, I have memories of past lives and stuff like that. So I do feel that there is something to that. But again, I keep a very open mind as I learn more.
Okay. And what's your thoughts on the timeline structure at the moment? Do you think we're on multiple timelines, or do you think that it has reduced into one timeline now, as some people believe?
I think it's multiple timelines and that the energy is changing daily, moment by moment. So, like, for example, 6 or 8 months ago, I would have thought we'd still be in a lockdown given the energy of the time. But things are shifting and changing all the time. So I think there's multiple potential timelines that can play out. And depending on how the energies are and how many more people are waking up and the frequencies are changing, different timelines are merging and evolving. So there's no absolute outcome, I think.
And do you think that it's your belief system or your thoughts and energy dictate the timeline you're on? Like, are we hopping from timeline to timeline depending on where our energy and our focus is going?
Yeah, I do believe we are creators. That is our ability, and what's happened is almost our creative force is being hijacked or manipulated to suit other people or other consciousness. So we do create our reality, 100%. I do believe at the moment that's what I feel anyway. We create our reality, and obviously how we think or how we believe or how we transmit our energy determines the experience that we're going to have.
Okay.
And you can have a really positive experience within the nightmare, so to speak, depending on what your frequency you're putting out there.
Okay. So the big question then has to be, do you believe we are in some kind of advanced quantum program at the moment, like, and we talk about the matrix, but do you believe we're actually in something like that at the moment?
Yeah, I suppose that could be a way to describe it, yeah.
Because, you know, this is a topic that I've had people on talking about this, and about this advanced program, and then we got into the science of computer programming and flowcharts, and do we really have free will, or we have limited free will depending on the choices we have at the time and where we are, and we really got into the technicalities of that. But it's just some people kind of say, well, this is this kind of, you know, you probably remember a program in the 90s called SimCity.
Yeah, I do, barely. I wasn't really into computer stuff, but yeah.
All right, because obviously what you did, the whole idea is that you create your own city and you manage it and run it and stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of people have this belief system that we're in this advanced quantum program. And there's glitches in the matrix.
I probably lean towards that now myself, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously the glitches in the matrix and people are seeing it. I'm going, hang on, what's this all about? And maybe that's why, you know, the lady who actually wrote the matrix, I know that people think the two twins actually did the Matrix, but they didn't do Matrix 1. They did Matrix 2 and 3. It was a woman that actually wrote the Matrix, but she didn't win a court case. If you look into the science of it. But, yeah, no, it's something that I kind of ask people about the quantum program. And are we in it? And if you, again, expand your mind and challenge your belief system and go, well, what if? What if we are in this advanced quantum program? I forget that movie that came out with the blue creatures.
The Avatar.
And where your man goes in the machine and then he becomes an avatar on that planet.
Yeah, I think that's a very good example. And I my own feeling on it is that we are a pure source and we're using the avatars to interact and create this experience.
And is this why we say that we are spiritual beings experienced in life in physical form?
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, Yvonne, thank you for coming on. We've reached that time. Thanks again for all the information. And, you know, it was a great chat, great information. And I'm sure down the road we'll probably do a part two. Give out all your details as to how people can find you if they want to come and book an appointment and see you and all that kind of stuff. Give out all your contact details.
Oh, thank you, Alan. Yeah, you can contact me. Well, I've a number of different centres, so you can contact me personally on Instagram at Yvonne Skelly Healing, either Instagram or Facebook. So Yvonne Skelly Healing, and then if you wanted to interact with us in our centres, there's NACE Holistic Centre, and it's NACE Holistic Centre on Instagram or Facebook, or the other centre would be Lakeshore Wellness Centre, and all one word on Instagram. So check us out, but you'll see all those handles on my own personal Yvonne Skelly Healing.
Fantastic stuff. Okay, Yvonne, just stay with me there for a minute. We're just going to go off to a musical break and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
There you go, folks. That was Yvonne Skelly. Great information from Yvonne. She's doing great work there, helping a lot of people. And we covered a number of topics, and I just hope that some of the information that we talked about was a benefit to people there. And you just hopefully stand in your own power and take your power back to make that choice and say, right, I'm going to do things differently. I'm going to concentrate in X, Y, and Z and manifest and focus. Sit down, think about what you want and manifest it. And, you know, okay, it might come. And then it might not. But look, if you don't do it, at least try it and see how you get on. That's really the important bit. At least give it a try and see how you get on. But great information from Yvonne. The lady who does the foraging, that's going to be very interesting to actually have her on the show and to actually get her up and teach people locally how to forage. And that will definitely be something that I'll be putting around and letting people know if they're interested, because if the proverbial hits the fan and we do have issues with the food chain and everything else and rationing comes in, it might just be handy to have that information, you know what to do, know what to get, you know. Now, I know why you have a local elderly neighbour who is a very hardened Scottish lady and comes from Bambecular in Scotland, and she grew up doing stuff like that. So she would know some of the stuff already, which is great. But, you know, there's no harm learning a bit more and obviously recording it and have it on record just in case anything happens. It just gives you peace of mind. Again, it's better to have it, not need it, and need it and not have it, as I always say. And Steve's probably fed up with me saying that, but there, that's it. You know, that's it in a nutshell. Okay, so the guest I have on the show next week, I had on just before Christmas, was Francis Richard Connolly. And Francis came on the show and he enjoyed himself. He did have fun, he said. He said, normally what happens is when people get him on the show, they just don't stay quiet and they let him talk for the length of the interview and then they say, okay, thank you. And he said, your show was different, Alan, because you interacted with me, and we actually had a bit of a conversational ping pong, to you, to me, to you, to me, and it was more enjoyable, and we had a bit of a laugh, and he enjoyed it, and he said, I'd be more than happy to do a part two. So Francis is going to come on next week, and we're going to have a chat about everything that's going on, obviously, in the world, and hopefully we'll have, you know, again, some solutions, and we'll focus on that. And, you know, see what comes about. But a big thank you to everybody on the chat room who's logging in and listens on a regular basis. Thank you for your support. Thank you for giving me your Sunday. 2 hours of listening to me gabble on with a guest on Sunday. You know, thank you very much. You'll be awarded in heaven for that, I'm sure. So a big thank you. And thanks to everybody who donates to Circle of White Light and to the Pay It Forward appeal. What we try and do is do our little bit to try and pay it forward and to help people as much as we can with resources that we have. So a big thank you for that. As usual, if you have any guests that you think might be good to come on the show, email me at contactus@circlewhitelight.com. And, you know, we'll email them and ask them to come on. And that would be great, you know, if you can do that. Otherwise, for myself, have a great week. I hope you had, as I say, a great Paddy's Day last week. But we have the equinox tomorrow, the 21st. The next few days are going to be quite heavy with energy, I think. You know, according to people who kind of tune into that energy, I think the next few days are going to be quite heavy. So take it easy and relax and put the music on and dance to it. And stay positive there, folks, as much as you can. So take it easy. You have myself, Alan James, Circle of White Light Radio. And it's the 20th of March, 2022. We get the date right as well. All right, take it easy. Have a good one. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleofWhiteLight.com. Focusing on solutions and thinking different.